Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. This is, in fact, the last show that we are going to have that is preempted by the Royals. So we only got 20 minutes in this hour. Let's get right to it. All right, let me give you some stats. These stats are very, very important. Since 1990, only 12% of teams that have started out the year 0-2 have made the playoffs. Only three of those teams have won the Super Bowl. Now you might be thinking, why are you going back to 1990? That's not the same playoff structure. That is a fair point. It is the same percentage since the expansion of the playoffs. It is 12.2%. There have been 41 teams that have started 0-2. Five of those teams have made the postseason. Now, I don't tell you this because I think you should be worried about the Chiefs, because just last season, three of those teams started 0-2 and made the postseason. One of those teams were the Ravens. They won their division. Another one of those teams were the Rams. They won their division. The other team was the Denver Broncos. They won double-digit games last year. So I have told you guys all week, and I will reiterate this point, I am not yet worried about the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, there are things that I don't like right now about the Chiefs. I wish they ran the football more effectively. I want them to get healthy. I want them to get more pressure with their defensive line. But I am not pressing the panic button with the Kansas City Chiefs. This game, to me, is the one in which you press the panic button. I went back through Patrick Mahomes' losses today, and the only loss to me that would be comparable to this one would be back in 2019, where the Chiefs lost 19-13 to the Indianapolis Colts. You guys remember Matt Ryan was starting for the Indianapolis Colts. It was a close game. The Chiefs got off of the field. Chris Jones said something to Matt Ryan. We don't know what he said, but they threw the flag. We've never actually was told what he said that warranted getting a flag. That extended the drive for the Colts. The Colts essentially ran the clock out, and they won the game. Maybe you remember that game. Maybe you don't. That was the last time that the Chiefs lost to a team like this. This is not a divisional game. Those things are kind of weird from time to time. Some weird random results happen in the divisional games. You know them. The stakes are a little bit higher. You can get upset in that scenario. This team, since they have been a dynasty, since they have been a championship organization, they don't lose this game very often. There's no shame in losing to the Chargers. I know a lot of you think the Chargers every year overhyped. I get all of that. That's a team with a good coach, a good quarterback, good talent, good pieces on their offense. There is no shame in losing to a playoff team from last year at a neutral site by one possession. There is no shame in losing to a team in the Philadelphia Eagles that has won 18 of their last 19 games, and the one game they lost, their quarterback was injured in the first quarter. There's no shame in losing to either one of those teams. I mean, you would have loved to have won one of those, but you don't got to hang your head in shame. There is shame in losing to the Giants. The Giants are a bad football team. They are going to be a bad football team. Why don't we take a quick look at the Giants? But if you look at the Giants and you look at what their schedule looks like. Tell me if we are not talking about a team around Halloween that has maybe fired their head coach, probably changed their quarterback, and looks like a team that's going to be headed toward the top five pick. They already have two losses. They play Kansas City on Sunday. They are a 5.5, 6-point underdog for their home opener to the Chiefs. They play the Chargers next week. They play the Saints. The Saints are not a good football team. They play Philadelphia at Denver, at Philly, home against San Francisco. That is all their games around leading up to Halloween. We could very easily be talking about a team that has won one, maybe two games. Don't let one of those wins be you. They are not a good football team. They are not a well-coached football team. They are not an uber-talented football team. There is no reason for a team that has true championship expectations to lose in any scenario to this team, especially when your back is up against the wall. We'd be having a different conversation if the Chiefs were 2-0. They got the Ravens coming up next week. We'd be having trap game conversations. There is no trap game when you are 0-2. There is no trap game when you are one of the winless teams in the National Football League. So my belief is by any means necessary. I don't care how pretty it looks. I don't care how ugly it looks. I don't care the how. But what they need to do when they get back on that team flight back to Kansas City, they need to have a win in their pocket, Rob. I will not accept anything less from them. I'm not going to be overly critical on Monday if they win and it's not pretty. I'm not expecting them to go out there and beat this team 31-10. They haven't done that since Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift started dating and they're engaged now. So I'm not expecting them to go out there, haymaker, knock them out, and you can go to bed early because the Chiefs have taken care of business. That's not how they get down, and I don't think their offense is good enough to do that right now. So this is probably going to be a 24-17 win. This is going to be a 17-13 knockout, drag-out kind of game because that's all this team knows right now. I don't care. You just have to figure out a way to score more points than them over a full 60 minutes. I really don't care the how.
So we see the it being you got to win the exact same way. Like, no doubt, win the game. Me and you just see the style points thing a little differently. And that's fine. There's neither one of us are right or wrong. It's just a matter of opinion. But I feel like you need to make a statement that the Giants are clearly inferior. And if the Giants game Sunday goes the way, let's say, the Panthers game went last year. Remember that Panthers game? I believe it ended 30-27. It wasn't Butker. It was one of the other kickers they had last year. Schrader, I believe, hit a game-winning field goal.
It wasn't a good win. Remember, that's the one in the kingdom where Patrick told him to turn the cameras off, and he would tell them that's not our standard.
He's like, that's not up to what we do. And I remember, speaking of the kingdom, Andy Reid was like, hey, wins tough in the NFL. You take them or you can get them. I remember our text line that week was like, hey, wins in the NFL are tough. Take them where you can get them. They're still a one-loss team. Da-da-da-da. If it's that in New York against this Giants team, I will not come on here Monday and be like, hey, a win's a win. It counts the same. I will say things like, that is problematic and that is concerning, because Russell Wilson, the Giants, and we will talk about this here in a minute, they hemorrhage yards to running backs in the NFL this year. They are making people you've never heard of look like Hall of Famers in the run game this year. You need to get your run game going. They gave up 40 points to Dallas. Dak Prescott probably gets unfairly crushed sometimes, by myself included. Patrick Mahomes is better than Dak Prescott. If Dak's dropping dots, Patrick Mahomes should be doing the same thing. And as much and as daunting as their D-line is in name, right now the Giants' D-line is a lot more name than game. I don't need you to go up there and put 60 on the board.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind.
behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Or it doesn't need to be like, can you believe what Alabama did to Vanderbilt in 2015? No, it doesn't need to be that. But this needs to be 31-17, 27-17, 24-10, a multiple score type of win. Or maybe it's kind of like last night's Bills game where they kick a field goal late to push it from one score to two score. But you felt like the entire time, hey, one team is clearly superior. But if this game looks like last year's Panthers game, I'm not going to be like, hey, a win's a win. Let's talk Ravens. I'm going to point out that's problematic. The team might be picking in the top five gave you everything you can handle after two bad losses in week one and two.
The only reason I'll disagree with you is just the timing of it. That Carolina game was after the Buffalo game. It was essentially 2 months from their bye. Remember, the Chiefs were upset. They got an early bye. And it was sandwiched in between a couple of divisional games. I can see how you go out there and sleepwalk a little bit against Carolina. I could get it. I think the Giants should get your hyper-focus. Now, maybe this goes to your point. If the Chiefs are going in there back up against the wall, we're not falling to 0-3, their focus and attention should be sharp enough to be able to put down the New York Giants. We'll see what that looks like. Now, I will give myself a little bit of a caveat because I can't just have 4 hours of telling you, oh, they won. I can't do that. I got to give you something. There's no reason why the Chiefs shouldn't be able to run the football effectively on Sunday. Not when you look at who the Giants have played so far this season and the running backs that have had good days against them. Just last week against the Dallas Cowboys, Javonte Williams ran for 80-plus yards against this Giants team. He had 18 carries for 97 yards and a touchdown. So Javonte Williams, no one considers him to be a top 15, top 20. No one considers him to be one of those kind of backs. He had a good day. The Cowboys ran it 28 times for 135 yards and two touchdowns. They ran the football very successfully against this Giants team. If you go to the Washington Commanders, the Commanders did something very similar. They ran the ball 32 times for 220 yards and two touchdowns against this team. This offense needs to get its run game jump-started. I know that we might disagree on whose fault it is. Maybe you think it's Isaiah Pacheco. Maybe you think it's Matt Nagy. Maybe you think it's the offensive line. Honestly, for this game, I don't care. I don't care whose fault we think that it is. But what I do know is there's no reason why Ja'Cory Croskett Merritt and Javonte Williams should be allowed to have very productive days against this defense. And then we're talking about Isaiah Pacheco having 9 carries for 17 yards. They have not shown me, with all the names they got up front, and they got guys that we've heard of before, guys that I'm sure have very good overalls on Madden, guys that you remember playing college football, they have not shown you an ability to stop the run. You can't control the line of scrimmage against this team. The Commanders did it. The Cowboys did it. I don't know why we shouldn't expect Kansas City to be able to control the line of scrimmage against this team. So this goes in line with my by any means necessary. The Giants have the third worst rush defense in the National Football League. They're giving up on average around 178 yards per game on the ground. They're giving up 6 yards a carry. Last week, the Chiefs ran the ball 19 times for 55 yards from their running backs. That's Philadelphia's defense. That's Philadelphia's D-line. That's not what the Giants have shown so far. And I think by having that balance and also having Xavier Worthy back, potentially having Jalen Royals for this matchup, you should see a more improved version of the Chiefs offense. At least that's my hope.
I think this is where me and you are seeing it very similar and why I think style points matter. I am going into Sunday's game anticipating the Chiefs are going to have success running the ball. Are they going to look like the Bills last night? Probably not. But they are going to be successful at running the football because the Giants cannot stop a nosebleed. They can't. They have not been able to do it all year. So in my mind, you're playing an inferior opponent. Your back's against the wall. You are in must-win mode, despite what the quarterback refused to answer that question with us, basically, kind of hemmed and hawed. And you have a run game that I believe should be back and should be viable against a terrible rush defense. There is no excuse to me why you shouldn't take care of business in New York. I got told all last season by Chiefs fans when the games were close, hey, it doesn't matter as long as they're winning. This is a business trip where you have to reassert yourself in the NFL. I was watching SportsCenter a minute ago. They're talking about the Bills, and they said, pull up their schedule and said, hey, when the Bills hit their first loss, here are the tough ones on the schedule. They're going to do those sorts of things with other teams in the NFL. It's no longer the Chiefs are that team. You have a chance to get back into the zeitgeist by dominating the Giants, and every stat, every mental, everything points to the Chiefs should go out there and have a nice, comfortable, maybe you can go to bed early on a Sunday night type of night up in New York. But if it's, like I said, 27-26, even if they run the ball successfully, I'm not going to be happy come Monday.
I do want to talk a little bit of Russell Wilson, not Mr. Unlimited. We'll talk about Russell Wilson. Heading into this matchup, I have absolutely no clue what kind of quarterback play the Giants can expect. In week one, Russell Wilson completed 46% of his passes. He averaged 4.5 yards per attempt, which is dreadful. He didn't throw a touchdown. They scored 6 points, and they were having conversations about if he was going to be replaced after one game. Maybe that's New York City. I don't care. When you got Jameis Winston, who's a capable backup, and you also spent a first-round pick, and you throw for 4.5 yards per attempt, your job could potentially be on the line. Last week, it's like he heard that, and it was a completely different version of Russell Wilson. He threw for 450 yards. He threw for 11 yards an attempt through 3 touchdowns. Now, this is the caveat, and this is where I think Russell Wilson will continue to be Russell Wilson. For as well as he played, he still made the critical mistake in overtime that cost them the game. You cannot make that throw in the middle of the field. You have to anticipate that that safety is going to be there. Russell didn't. He threw an interception. That was a difference in the game. Cowboys getting a field goal range. They got the best field goal kicker right now in the National Football League. That's all she wrote, and they won that game. So I'm going into this with a little bit of a, I have no clue what to expect from Russell Wilson. But if I do know this about Russ and what we've seen with him, and now the Chiefs have seen, Patrick Mahomes has played against every version of Russell Wilson. He played against him on Sunday night when he was with the Seattle Seahawks. He played against him when he was in Denver. He played him last year on Christmas, and now you're playing him with the New York Giants. This defense, this team, they have seen every version of Russell Wilson. He will give you a couple of opportunities. And what could help your point, Rob, about this potentially being a blowout, what could really jumpstart and spark this offense is the defense creating their first turnover of the season and creating short fields for the offense. This offense needs a little bit of a boost. They need a handicap. They need just a little bit of extra something. And that something can come from the defense. That something can come from you forcing a turnover, creating an interception, getting it in a scoring range. It could start from a big special teams play. Now with the kickoff rules, you take a big kickoff and now you start your drive at the 50-yard line. 2 first downs, it puts you in field goal range. This defense hasn't really helped the offense in terms of just decreasing the learning curve, so to speak. So a big turnover, a big play, a big shift in momentum that could create a short field for the offense could really help them lay that heavyweight punch that we're talking about.
So I don't want to take the conversation away from Russell Wilson too much, but that spark, that big play, that, hey, they can make that the thing that gets the offense going, you're saying needs to be over, maybe a scoop and score, you know, points from the defense, a big special teams play. I don't think they need, you know, special teams defense to make that play. I think, I had Tyreek Hill on the brain from the last segment with Nate. Xavier Worthy makes those things happen. I know he was limited in practice today, but Nate Taylor earlier in the show said he expects him to play. He has played 3 snaps this season, but all offseason the talk was about being more explosive. How do you do that? You're more explosive players. Who's their most explosive offensive weapon? It's Xavier Worthy. It's the guy that ran the fastest 40 at the combine, a guy who a lot of you, and myself included, thought could go from a 680-yard guy last year to maybe an 850 to 950-yard guy this year. If he is that guy, if he is this difference maker, if he is a spark in this offense that keeps them from being just dull, then his return should do a lot of those things you're talking about and make life easier for the offense. It shouldn't be dink, dunk, 3 yards, cloud of dust anymore on Sunday. You now have a guy who can take the top off the defense. You have a guy who you throw a slant to, and he is a threat to score, not just get the 6 yards. Like, that spark you're talking about to make life easier for the offense, I don't think the defense needs to do that. I don't think special teams needs to do that. I think Xavier Worthy's injection into the offense should do those things just by him arriving at all.
I want to play this for you as the final piece of audio that we play for this week. I think Josh Allen is phenomenal. I think he's fantastic. I think he's the second best quarterback in the league. But what makes me dislike Josh Allen is really the commentary that surrounds Josh Allen. Here was the talk that they were having earlier today on Get Up about Josh Allen.
I'm watching the game last night. I've been watching this sport 50 years. And I'm just a fan. I'm just a reporter, whatever the case is. No one has ever played that position better than Josh Allen plays it. He's not the greatest player ever.
Bart!
No, you tell me who has played that position better than he plays it.
Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert right now is cooking. What are we talking about, Greeny? It's so early.
I'm saying he's better than them. I'm saying okay. You can't be better than Josh Allen is. Josh Allen does everything.
Greeny.
His command of what he's doing in the game right
now
is ridiculous. He just hasn't won anything. If he had won anything, we'd be talking about him with literally the best quarterbacks that ever played.
If he had won anything, then we talk about him among the greats. Well, you know what separates him from the greats? It's that he hasn't won anything. This is what I don't like about Josh Allen. I cannot think of a player in American professional sports that the media seems so hell-bent on crowning despite not having any of the accolades that you would need to be crowned. This would be like right now if there was a push in the NBA to consider Anthony Edwards the best player in the league. Anthony Edwards is incredible. He is a phenomenal basketball player. He's not the best basketball player in the world. That's what they're doing right now with Josh Allen. No one has ever played the position better than Josh Allen. What are we talking about? It's been played better by his counterparts in the AFC. Mahomes has played the position better than he has. Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson has played the position better than he is. What are we talking about? I don't know why we got to do this. I don't know why we have to discuss Josh Allen in this way. He's really good. He really is good. It's lost on me when they start this with him. We've never seen the position played better. Didn't see Tom Brady play it. We just never saw Aaron Rodgers in those early Packer years. Say been watching football for 50 years. You saw Joe Montana. Just never seen anybody play it better than Josh Allen. Nuts to me. I'm picking the Chiefs. I don't have a score prediction. Just win. Until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.